Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Second reading from Mark. And again, this is Passion Sunday, the time when we remember the cross of Christ. The soldiers offered Jesus wine mixed with myrrh. This would be a painkiller, but he refused it. Then they crucified him and shared out his clothing, casting lots to decide which should get what. It was the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning, when they crucified him. The inscription giving the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And they crucified two robbers with him, one on the right and one on his left. And the passerbys jeered at him. They shook their heads and said, "Aha! So you would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Then save yourself. Come down from the cross." The chief priests and the scribes mocked him among themselves in the same way. "He saved others," they said. "He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now for us to see and believe." Even those who were crucified with him taunted him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Palm Sunday, about 2,000 years ago, begins one of the most dramatic weeks in history. Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem riding on the back of a donkey to the cheers of the crowds and to the waving of palm branches by the crowds. It was a greeting fit for a king. But the mood of things changed very quickly now. Within just a few days, Jesus would be betrayed with that kiss. He would be taken captive by the police, taken to the high priest's home. There would be very quick kangaroo courts. Then he's delivered to Pilate. He's beaten and lashed and put on a cross. You know, for this king, the crown would be thorns. For this king, a cross would be his throne. This Lenten season, this spring, we've been listening to the sounds of that last week in Jesus' life. We've heard the clatter of the coins, the trumpet blast. And today we turn our attention to that sound of a hammer striking a nail again and again, that sound of metal upon metal as the nails are driven into the wood of the cross. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. You can imagine a very sort of gray, hot beginning to the day when Jesus is crucified, when a cross is lifted to a gray leaden sky outside the city wall of Jerusalem, and he's crucified between two thieves. Cicero, the Roman orator, said that crucifixion was the cruelest form of punishment. And it wasn't that rare. It was widely used. When Jesus was a little boy growing up in Nazareth, he would have seen people hanging from crosses. In Galilee, while he was still a young boy, there had been an unsuccessful rebellion, and the Romans crucified 2,000 people. You can imagine those people lined along the roadside, telling everyone, you know, keep your place or this will happen to you. No Roman citizen could be crucified. Only slaves, revolutionaries, people guilty of the worst crimes imaginable. For the Jewish people, crucifixion meant that the person was outside the pale of God's love. If you can imagine that. No wonder that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane would pray, you know, let this cup pass from me. The thud of the hammer, that hammer striking the metal of the nail, driving it in, pounding it in again and again and again. What might the crucifixion of Jesus say to us in our own lives today? Why is this lifted up as being so important? I think, first of all, for me, it's on the cross that we see God's love laid bare. I think, you know, throughout Jesus' ministry, we see that love. We see that love as Jesus reaches out to the sick and the blind. We see that love as he reaches out to the friendless, to the outcast. But I also think most decisively, most revelatorily, we see that love displayed on the cross. Jesus underwent pain and suffering just as we do. He underwent affliction, the worst form of suffering that people can go through. When we see him on the cross, we see someone who's not just a martyr who can sympathize with us in our own struggles, but we see a God who is present there, a God who takes our pain, our suffering, into his very heart. I can remember back at the time when my father was ill and dying in the hospital. He had been a very heavy smoker, and his lungs were just shot. His mind was very good. He knew exactly what was happening. But I was wounded as well as he was wounded. And that Sunday morning, I can remember going into the church that I was serving at the time and putting my notes on the pulpit for the morning service. And I was in grief. I was down. And I happened to look up, and there in the back of that church on the wall was a cross. And I was reminded that, you know, in the depths of what we go through, God is also there. That Christ knows exactly where we are. He's been there himself. And that was healing. God in Christ, taking our wounds, taking our pain into his very heart. Think of that. Powerful stuff. What else? What else might the cross say to our lives? That, you know, that thud of the hammer, The hammer striking metal, metal upon metal, again and again, driving that nail into the wood. I think here we find the forgiveness that God offers to us at a big cost. I think here we find forgiveness for all that we've been involved in at different points in our lives. Because I don't know about your own situation, but I'm sure pretty much all of us have turned our backs on God at some point. And you know, sometimes we just can't figure out right and wrong, and we can't practice it. And I've always been struck by Charles Lindbergh. Remember him, the pioneer of American aviation? He did something I've never done, and I suspect most of you have never done. He took his personal morality very seriously. He had a list of 85 items, you know, like honesty, diligence, perseverance, unselfishness. He had a whole list of virtues that every night he would go over and think about which ones did he call upon for use that day, which ones did he have to work on more based on how he behaved. Just every night he went over that list. But you know, we're complex people. And, you know, on one hand we say, wow, I've never done that. On the other hand, this man was very unfaithful to his wife, Anne Morrow Lindbergh. He had several wives and several families in different ports of call. He was very taken by the Nazi regime in Germany and their technical efficiency. And he was quite aware that the Jewish people were being persecuted, but he was silent. He was silent when his voice perhaps would have been heard. The contradictions within us. We have a hard time sometimes straightening out what's right and what's wrong. But forgiveness is offered to us. And again, it doesn't come easy. That's why we know it's real. It comes at a cost. The thud of the hammer. Can you hear that bang of metal upon metal as that hammer strikes the metal nail? Again and again, driving that nail into the wood. I think there's something else here too. If you think of the cross, the vertical beam, I think we can think of as pointing to God and the mystery and the wonder of God's love and how far it goes. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. But it also, that crossbeam reaches out, I think, to enfold this world in its wounds. And we see a God who cares about this world and what goes on here, and who also calls us to be co-workers with him in the healing of creation. Harriet Beecher Stowe, we've all read about in history, and some of us have even read Uncle Tom's Cabin. But she was in a church in Brunswick, Maine, just north of where I lived at one point. She was in a church in Brunswick, Maine. She had received the bread and wine of communion. And as she went through that communion service, she had a very deep conviction that slavery was wrong, that slavery was unjust. And remember, slavery wasn't just in the South, it was up here as well. The slave market up in Litchfield. In some of the churches here, slaves sat, but they sat in an area so the people down below could not see them. She became convinced that slavery was unjust and wrong, and she went out into that cold winter's night and started writing Uncle Tom's Cabin, which for its time was remarkable in that it raised people's consciousness of how bad slavery really was. The cross shows us again the mystery of God's love, but it also calls us to work with God, to carry on Jesus' ministry in the healing of creation, to correct what's wrong. The thud of the hammer, the sound of metal hitting metal, hammer meeting nail, again and again, driving it into the wood. I think here we see, in a way very different from any other way, what God's love is all about and what it calls upon us to do. The thud of the hammer, the hammering of the nails. Amen.